Well, we know recession's coming. What's it going to look like? Will it be a kinder and gentler downturn or deja vu all over again? And I called some of my lender friends and I called some real estate finance lawyers and just kind of picked their brains. These are some of the quotes I got. The next term will be more concentrated and shorter. Not all asset classes will be impacted. A lot of the people who had comments similar to this talked about the absence of the subprime crisis that we had the last time around. Anticipate a much shorter recession, lots of dry powder. There are people waiting on the sidelines with cash and capital to come in. They're waiting for prices to drop. That's a potential source to come in and invest in projects, refinance loans, or even buy distressed assets. The metrics are better than the last recession. There's better leverage. Loan-to-value ratios are better. More of an equity cushion. The debt yield's higher. And a lender actually said this, the fall won't be as far because of better underwriting and conservative financing. Now, that may have, you know, tie into the cushions, the loan-to-value ratios, but my guess is between a recession that has occurred and the next recession, every lender has said, we did a better job, we were more conservative, the loans are better this time around. And then the last one came from one of my partners, who's kind of a curmudgeon and who may be a speaker here. He said, nothing's changed. Now, as far as this should be changes in documents and policies, I also talked to some real estate finance lawyers and some lenders about what are you seeing different in documents that have been done since the last recession? What's new in documents? And these are just some of the things they told me. There's been expansion of some of the bad boy carve-outs and guarantees to include security deposits used for property expenses if you don't. If you use the security deposits for an improper purpose, you have liability, fair borrowers to renew insurance policies, fair borrowers to obtain or extend interest rate cap agreements, completion loans for construction or completion guarantees for construction loans. I didn't think that was that novel, but I did think it was interesting that a couple of people told me there are liquidated damage provisions in construction guarantees now. I've not seen that before. The complexity of the capital stack, generally multiple mezzanine lenders, in addition to the senior lender and preferred equity provider. Some scaling back, this kind of goes the other way, some scaling back of the full recourse trigger when you have a bankruptcy. That is often in the loan documents, in the note. It's more important in the guarantee because the borrowers are typically SPEs and don't have any assets besides the real estate. But for some kind of preferred, most favored nation sponsors, they're negotiating down the springing provision. So you either have a limited recourse. If there's a bankruptcy filing, you either have it limited by a dollar amount. So you had a $20 million loan. Maybe the guarantor is on the hook if there's a bankruptcy filing for 10, 5, whatever it may be, or a percentage. So they're not liable for 30% of the loan, 50% of the loan, whatever it may be. Some people believe that the risk retention rules under Dodd-Frank for banks, which required them to keep 5% of all securitized loans on the books for at least 5 years, may have caused banks to make less CMBS loans. And the statistics do show that their CMBS lending is down by about 60% at banks. On kind of the negative side, it may have forced some of the borrowers to go to other sources, private equity, and to obtain riskier products, and one commentator mentioned including interest-only loans. I want to talk about three of these four. As a litigator, one of my concerns with every time we go into recession is lender liability. And you hear a lot of people say lender liability is dead, case law killed it, it doesn't exist anymore. Lawyers are really creative, and they can come up with new stuff. Who ever heard of split the note? You know, that was something that came this last time around in the residential context. Never heard of that in the downturn of the 90s or in the late 80s. These are some real-world scenarios of cases that I'm either involved in or familiar with. And what scares me about lender liability is not so much the case law that's out there. We've got really good precedents. And from each downturn, the case law from a lender's perspective seems to get better. What scares me is all the new judges we have. And the people who don't have experience with this. We have young judges on the courts. We have cities like, or counties like Houston and Dallas, where we've had, because of demographic change and political change, we've had new judges being swept in. In Dallas, For the first time, we have a Democratic majority Court of Appeals. First time that's happened in the 30-plus years I've been practicing. This doesn't have a lot to do with politics as much as it has to do with inexperience. And having not dealt with these issues and haven't seen them before, like judges who've lived through these prior recessions. So I worry about some of the old theories maybe getting tweaked by Court of Appeals, trial judges who haven't seen this stuff, maybe going out there a little bit beyond what the presidents allow them to do. And just some real world examples that at least cause me some concern and may cause you concern. The first one I call the disgruntled guarantor. Now this is a case I have no involvement in whatsoever. It's actually an energy loan, not a real estate secured loan. Bank made a loan secured by all the assets of an oil field services company. And at one time, there was a prospective buyer talking to the borrower about buying the assets. Deal never happened for whatever reason. Buyer walks. Buyer comes to bank, starts talking to the bank about buying the note. The borrower, whose principal is the guarantor, goes to the bank and says, "Hey, do you know John Doe Buyer? And have you talked to him?" Bank says, "No, never heard of the guy." Well, in reality, the bank was in talks with the buyer about buying the note. This thing goes to trial. It's not a runaway jury. It's a bench trial. Judgment's entered against the bank for $3.6 million in favor of the guarantor. Guarantor walks the guarantee. And the theories were fraud by omission, and breach of fiduciary duty.